Ready to start in chapter 4, but I felt really, and maybe it was for me, kind of want to go back and just sort of encapsulate the things that John 3 says. And because it's such an important, significant chapter, so foundational. And also remember when really the chapter is about eternal life, even though it's only towards the second half of the chapter where he, instead of just talking about being born from above, he uses the word eternal life 3 times. Just a reminder to you that the word eternal is just the word aeon. It means age. That's just what the Greek words mean. And that so it has age and then life, zoe, God's life. It's the age of God's life. And when a person becomes a Christian, they enter into personally the age of God's life. No longer the age of flesh life. No longer the age of being separated from him, but the age of God's life happening in you that you've been grafted into. Makes sense? Does that last forever? Yes, because God does, and that relationship does. But it's not got anything to do with chronology. The word aeon represents a kind of a character that has a life, that has an age, that has a character to it, a particular character. So the age of God's life. And so when Nicodemus, having said in the last part of chapter 2, when it says some people believed in Jesus and says Jesus didn't entrust himself to them, for he knew what was in man, and that he didn't need anybody to tell him what was in man because he knew himself what was in man. Why did he know what was in man? Because he clothed himself in your humanity and mine. So he knew. And knew that mankind could not be changed by him trusting them to make the changes. The only chance for mankind to be changed was that he had to be entrusted. God had to be entrusted with our transformation. And because our condition was so destitute, it wasn't that God came to start a self-improvement program for us. He didn't come to impact or affect behavioral modification. There had to be a radical, supernatural change to save us from the depth of the darkness of sin and the slavery to sin that we were in. So when Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night and says, look, we know that you are from God, that you were sent from God as a teacher. For no man can, again, Nicodemus says, no man, he didn't say Messiah, no man can do the signs that you do unless God's with them. And then Jesus responded by saying, a man, because Jesus did the things he did as a man, though he was God. So again, what Nicodemus is responding to is how can a man live the kind of life that Nicodemus has observed Jesus live? He must be from God. God's obviously with you. There's something not earthly about you, because there has to be something unearthly about us while living on earth if we're actually going to be changed or transformed. Our salvation has to involve that. So I'm just going to read a few things and then just make reference to some familiar stuff, but sort of tie some pieces together. Put a bow on it, kind of. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, so that's like, this is a big deal. Unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, he had just said that because of the signs you do, God must be with you. And Jesus is saying, well, that's because when you're born from above, that's the kind of stuff you do. When you're born from above, there's something supernatural about your life. When you're born from above, you see the kingdom of God imposed over everything, and you enforce the kingdom of God, the reign of God in this fallen world. That must have been fascinating. Can you imagine what Nicodemus was thinking? And he was saying, Nicodemus, here's the deal. Unless one, and that includes you, Nicodemus, are born from above, they can't see the kingdom. But if you were to get born from above, so it is being born again, you could do the same stuff you're seeing me do. That's just remarkable. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He can't enter a second time to his mother's womb, can he? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. So when a Christian becomes, first member of the Christian, they enter the kingdom of God. They're born from above. They're able to see the reign of God over everything instead of responding to the thing. They see the reign of God, and they're able to impose the reign of God. Jesus, then he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. They can only do flesh things. But mankind needed something bigger than that. That's who they were. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. They're capable now of the Holy Spirit stuff, supernatural stuff, eternal life stuff. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from, where it is going. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. Again, we've said this several times. If you're born of the Spirit, if you're born from above, there's just no natural explanation for who you are and how you live. That should be said about us. If we really believe what he believes about us in light of his finished work, we'll begin to manifest a lifestyle that isn't just like your neighbor, that woos your neighbor. Isn't just like the person in Walmart that gets frustrated because it's too slow. There's something about us that's different. The God life age is happening in us. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? How can this person become the supernatural person? How can this be? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we testify, what we've seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things, you wouldn't believe them. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now you're going to say something more that's even more amazing. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, which is the Son of Man. He said, I'm on the earth, I've descended from heaven, but I've also ascended into heaven already. I'm living on earth and heaven at the same time. What's he still describing? Someone who's born from above. That's eternal life. That's the God age life, the age of God life. And then he looks at him and he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, when Moses, everybody got this plague and he put this serpent on the stick, and when everybody looked at the stick, they didn't do anything, just look at it, look at the serpent, they all got healed. He's talking about a different kind of healing now, a total transformation of the fallenness and brokenness of our humanity. As Moses was lifted up in the serpent, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes will in Jesus have eternal life, have the age of God life invade them. What did you have to do? He just told us how, well, look, all you have to do is believe the one who's lifted up. It's no harder than that. He couldn't trust anything to us. It all had to be trusted to him. The only part we have is to believe what he believes. For God so loved the world. How much did he love the world? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever simply believes in him would stop living a futile life, a wasted life, a ruined life, but have the age of God life invade them. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but he might, that the world might be saved through him. God didn't come because he was mad. He came for us because he was desperate for us. The I thirst of God at the cross. He came to save us from our fallenness. And he saved us from our fallenness by including us into the eternal life that Jesus has. He who believes will in Jesus have eternal life. He who believes in him is not judged, but he who believes not has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light came into the world and the men loved the darkness more than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth is being drawn to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. He's saying those who are judged have judged themselves. God didn't come into the world to judge the world. But those who choose not to believe and to settle for flesh life, they judge themselves. But for those who are living eternal life, it says their deeds, it'll be manifested about their life that their deeds have been wrought in God. Wow. Isn't that cool? And then John's testimony about this sort of closes this up. This is how much God loves you. This is the kind of solution. It wasn't just tapping you on your shoulder, saying, look, I'm going to come live in you, but I'm just there to cheer you on, do the best you can. Your sins are forgiven. No, I've come to include you into the age of God life. That's your age now. That's your new age. That's your new era. You've been grafted into the very eternal life that Jesus lives. Phew. And so you both live on earth and in heaven. Your feet are both on earth and you see from one who's in heaven. You have entered the kingdom and you will see the kingdom. And you'll manifest the kingdom. because that which is born of spirit is spirit. And so the whole thing about chapter 3, and I'm always, when I read that chapter, makes me think, no matter what I say, I'm not doing a good enough job, because he's describing chapter 3 is the born again chapter, the born from above chapter. Chapter 3 is explaining what happens to a human being when God, when your lostness and your brokenness is entrusted to him, when you believe in him. John says, he who comes from above is above all. That's a great way to describe it, isn't it? You're not under circumstances. You're above all. You're not under somebody else's behavior. Somebody else's behavior doesn't dictate the truth about who you are in Christ, ever. Because it can't dictate the truth about who Christ is in you, ever. Right? I don't have to live disappointed in people because I don't have to live with any expectations of people, which will cause me to love them. I love them in spite of how they act. That's Jesus. That's the God-age life. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth. That's the best they can do. Never get mad at them. They're doing the best they can. But he who comes from heaven is above all. For what he has seen and heard, of that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. But the ones who do, they have set their seal of this, that God is true. See, when people are around us, watch the life that we live. They should say, God is obviously true. There should be Nicodemus coming to us and saying, look, we know that you're from God and that God's with you, but we don't understand it. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. Oh, you've been grafted into the eternal life of Jesus. You have the Spirit without measure. You don't have to pray again for more of the Spirit. No, you already have the Spirit without measure because you've been grafted into his eternal life. He's still talking about someone who's born from above, who's both in heaven and on earth, who comes from heaven, who's above all things that's going on the earth, because they just don't see things the same way. They don't respond to seeing the same way. They don't treat things the same way. Treat people the same way that people in the earth flesh do. He's given you the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. The Son's eternal life. Everything that the Father has given to Jesus, because he loves him, is given to you. Because he loves you the same way he loves Jesus, because you have Jesus' relationship with the Father. I just think that's an amazing. And it was fun to me this morning just to briefly look at it and go, wow, this is what this chapter is saying. It's a blow your doors off description. And the enemy's always trying to oppress believers to not believe what God believes about them and what he has believed about them from the moment, from the finished work of Christ, and what he's always believed about you. And once you start really believing what he believes about you, a person can be Superman, but if he's been convinced that he's not, he's never going to take it out for a spin. But when he finally comes to realize his true identity, and that he can fly and do all kinds of supernatural stuff, he begins to act like who he is. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.